Welcome to the Josh Freeman Show.
Freeman, the pass toward the end zone. Toward the end zone. It's caught! Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers!
Now here's Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host, Scott Ledger.
Good to see you, Free.
Hey, you too.
How you been, man?
Doing well, man. We've had a good week this week.
Well, that was it. The show's over. Let's back up a little bit there. We'll get those numbers out to you in a second. Welcome to the Josh Freeman Show. I'm Scott Ledger. That is number 5, quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it's all about you guys, the fans. Make sure you get on those phone lines, 1-800-596-BUCKS. That's one open line there for you. Let's go back, not quite a week in time, and get your overall thoughts right away about the Saints game, from your perspective anyway. I know it's Thursday, but let's look back a little bit.
You know, the Saints game, definitely a tough game. You know, a tough one to stomach. Obviously, a divisional opponent. Coming into the game, we knew that they had a good team, a very talented offense. And defensively, we felt like we were going to be able to score more points than we did. Obviously, 6 points isn't cutting it, especially when you're playing against Drew Brees and that high-powered offense. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the frustrating thing, missing a couple shots early on that I felt like really could have sparked some momentum, obviously put some more points on the board and really changed the outcome of the game. But, I mean, what happened, you know. What was great to see was, I mean, everybody kept fighting the entire mm-hmm. game, even when the game was basically over. I mean, we kept fighting and, you know, just got to – we'll get them again. We'll get another shot, you know, and that's kind of our mentality in regards to the Saints. But right now our focus is primarily – it's all on the St. Louis Rams.
What did you take from the game? Let's just make that a 5-game question. What do you feel you're doing pretty darn good right now? What do you feel comfortable doing? QB,
I feel good. You know, I pretty much feel good with everything. You know, we're doing a good job on third downs. We're doing a good job sustaining drives. It's just gonna be a matter of finding a way to score more points. You know. And, I mean, I don't really see it as that serious of a problem. I don't think there's any blaring issue to why we only scored 6 points versus the Saints. But at the same time, as the quarterback and having the playmakers that we have, I mean, we got to go out and find a way to hit those touchdowns early on and to make generate those big plays. And if we can do that, then I feel like we got a pretty good chance versus anybody we're playing from here on out.
You guys have been fairly disciplined, too. I think you're averaging about 5 penalties a game. If you look at what Dallas is doing, some other teams and double-digit penalties. Green Bay had 18 penalties a couple of weeks ago. And it seems like for a young team, you know, I'm not seeing as many motion. I'm not seeing, you know, mental mistakes, not too many, at least as far as penalties is concerned.
Yeah, no, discipline is definitely something that Coach Raheem preaches, you know. It takes the team to really buy into it, buy into the mentality, and just go out and execute and play disciplined football. And I feel like we're doing that. And, I mean, that gives me a lot of confidence because the feeling at this point of the season compared to last year at this time, I mean, it's completely different. You know, I feel like we're still on an upswing. I feel like we have a great opportunity to get a win this week versus the St. Louis Rams team. But, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting how the rest of the season goes. I'm definitely excited about where we're headed.
Let's get those numbers. Let's get those phones locked and loaded. Get on the phone and talk to Free at 813-990-4620. That's the Hillsboro people, Pinellas County, 727-461-4620 or 1-800-596-BUCKS. I haven't asked you about your thumb. I'm sure it's not that much of an issue, but give us a thumb update.
No, it's fine.
Everything done. Done, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's not quite 100%, but it's I play pain-free football.
It's definitely not an issue. You smack it on a helmet, that kind of thing. You're not even feeling that aftershock, nothing like that anymore.
No. It's just minor little aches every now and then, but for the most part, it's healed up.
Been a busy week in the NFL, and the reason I want to talk about that is because in the last couple of games, 2 games ago, you weren't in the grasp. You're whistled down. Somebody hit you with a cheap shot, no flag. Then again, this week, you're scrambling. You run out of bounds. It looks like someone dives at your knees. No flag. There seems to be the inconsistencies, the up and down. But You know, and you know they're just trying to protect you. You're a commodity in this league. Quarterbacks don't grow on trees in the NFL, so it's almost like a double-edged sword. Do you think that sometimes your size is gonna hinder the way you're treated? You know, because again, if you're 5'10" and you weigh, you know, 205, you know, and you take a shot from someone, there might be a yellow hanky, but it's almost like the back judge is like, oh, he's a big kid, he can handle it.
Yeah,
you know,
I think sometimes it feels that way. I mean, obviously, you look back at the Cincinnati game and the play where they called it a sack because they said I was in the grasp where the guy just bounced off me and wasn't even touching me when they blew the whistle. So it really is. I mean, the officials are trying to do their job. And, I mean, really, most of the time, it's a judgment call. And that's about all he can say, you know. You always want them to go your way. But, I mean, in the game of football, they don't always go your way. So, I mean, you just got to keep playing hard and hope it works out for the best.
And again, they're trying to, you know, keep you guys healthy, not just during your career, a longevity in your career. They want everybody to be walking around upright, have all their faculties. You can see how they're trying to protect people from hills. But when you were growing up, was the shot to take someone out prevalent now? It doesn't seem like people are wrapping up as much, or is it just every play is different and it's just that the speed of the game, you don't have time to think about, oh, I'm going to wrap here. This time I'm going to lower my shoulder. Yeah. It seems to me at the game speed.
I mean, yeah, there's definitely a fine line, you know, because a lot of the time if you can get a chance to square up on somebody, you want to hit them, want to wrap up. But then other times you feel like you have an opportunity to make a big hit, you're going to go for the big hit. And it's just obviously the rules and the issues that are coming about are obviously for protection issues, and you know, it's one of those things. I mean, it's once again a judgment call by the officials.
It's going to be interesting to see because it's not just, you know, a defensive player. Let's say someone's coming to blitz you, and your running back steps up and lowers his head, and you know, the next thing you know, guy's got a bloody chin, and you know, the flags seem that they could fly offensively. A crackback block from a guy, you know, let's say someone, you know, or a special teams block. It just seems there's gonna. It's almost like a tangled web. Once they start setting a precedent going in one direction, how is it in the locker room? I don't need you to name names. We don't want people getting fined here, but. What's it been like this week? Because even your coach came out and said, you know, we talk about playing violent, but we don't mean that kind of violence. And it's almost like everyone's choosing their words real careful around here.
Yeah,
this week.
I mean, obviously your intent, you don't want to go out and injure or give anybody concussion. But at the same time, I mean, the mentality for any defensive player is go out and, I mean, hit them hard. You know, if you can go out and hit somebody hard, you have the opportunity to throw them off their game. They're not going to be as productive from there at that point on, because they'll be having the back of their mind getting hit like that again. So, and yeah, I mean, I think that's part of football is, I mean, hard hits. Obviously, there are certain circumstances where, I mean, defenseless players, obviously, helmet to helmet, stuff like that, which, I mean, guys should try to avoid, and the NFL is doing a good job of setting up rules for that. But, I mean, at the same time, it is just playing football. So much of it is subjective, how you want to view those hits.
You know, it's interesting for quarterbacks, too, because, you know, you've got a guy who thinks he's got man coverage. He runs across the middle, turns out it's zone. That means he's got a guy running towards him rather than the guy running after him. And it's almost like now it comes on the quarterback. You got to protect your guys. Have you strung out a receiver or two in your career? have you had to apologize to a guy coming back to the huddle?
You know, Not like that,
yeah.
You know, not like that. I mean, I've squeezed some tight ones in there where, I mean, guys got tackled pretty close after making the catch. But, no, I can't really say I've ever hung anybody out like that. But at the same time, I've played with relatively smart receivers that can read the difference between man and zone and set it down.
We had Regis in here last night, and I kind of asked him that question about, you know, making a body catch. You know, you run a little slant. Nothing wrong with catching the ball against your body. You're already in a position for contact. You know, you don't necessarily have to make it look pretty all the time. Just get the ball. But do you have time to say, oh, I'm going to put the ball in low here because the guy could get his clock? It's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you have an idea.
Yeah.
Coverage, if you're throwing a slant into zone. Yeah, or an in-breaking round to zone.
Where you want to put the ball, then give me an example.
Yeah, you want to put it really right in their upfield shoulder, their shoulder, the direction they're running towards, so they can kind of turn towards the ball, catch it just on their upfield shoulder, right easy position to tuck it away and move on from there.
Have you had a couple of guys come to the huddle and you're kind of looking at them like, maybe you should go to the sideline? Have you had some of those?
Oh, man.
It just seems like some guys come back to the huddle and they're just kind of like, you know, doing one of those.
Nah, man. You know? No, I mean, I can't really
say. How about you?
Any of our guys got laid out? Me?
Yeah, what's the biggest clock cleaning hit you ever took?
I don't know. I've taken a couple this year, but, I mean, I guess I pride myself in being a tough guy, you know. It's going to take a lot to really knock me out of the game. I'm going to have to either have my bell rung or have the wind knocked out of me and unable to call a play to get on the sideline. But I don't know. I got hit pretty hard in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Was that – you fell on your tailbone? Did you get the wind knocked out of
you? Yeah,
no,
I fell square on my back, and it just – the wind, all of it was right out of me. And
which is always fun.
Yeah, right. No, and my head was spinning a little bit, and it was just kind of one of those deals where – maybe I should sit this out for a couple plays.
That's not what I saw. I saw you wanting to run back out there, and I saw JJ was already warming up, and he was like basically going in for a couple snaps, and you were like, "Whoa, wait a minute!" You were kind of looking at the sideline. Am I in? Am I out?
No, yeah. I felt like I recovered enough that I could have gone right back in, but I mean, obviously the trainers and the coaches didn't feel the same way, but I mean, it ended up working out, and we won, so. I'm a happy camper.
It takes away a lot of the pain. The W definitely does. Hillsboro, let's get on these phone lines. Let's lock and load to get ready to talk to your quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, trying to move to 4-2 against the Rams. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, it's 727-461-4620. 1-800-596-BUCKS. We got open lines, all three of those numbers. Give them a call. We'll hit a break. Thank our great sponsors. Come back and talk more on the Josh Freeman Show as we get ready for... Wow, it's already Thursday. This week's flying by.
Yeah,
we got Adam Hayward in tomorrow night, by the way. A lot of people wearing pink in the NFL, and Adam has his own personal story that he'll be telling you about. It's kind of interesting. We kind of look at that, and we go, oh, they're wearing pink, and then it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But the reason they're doing that is very serious. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Adam will have his own personal story to share tomorrow night. So we'll definitely be doing that. I'm Ledge. That's Free. We're coming back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host Scott Ledger.
All right, guys, welcome back. Phones are almost a full boatload already. Kenny, Mark, RJ, stand by, brothers. We're coming right to you. But Chris, you are up first on the Josh Freeman Show. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Hey, welcome. Thank you, Ledge, for taking my phone call. Josh, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you. It's a nice luxury to have so many head coaches sitting in the stands and watching at home, because everybody's always got an idea how to do something better, what you should be doing.
I was wondering where he was going with that. That's funny.
You know, my question is that I have on play selection short yardage. You're 6'5". Is that correct? 6'5", 200-some pounds,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, roughly.
Okay. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out why if you have short, say, third down or even fourth down, and short yard, meaning, you know, 2 foot, 3 foot length of the ball, why doesn't it seem to be an option of doing a quarterback keeper? I would think at 6'5", you could fall that far. And I know you don't have to throw anybody under the bus, but it would seem – to me, I see it as a fan of a lack of confidence in my center and my guards. And I don't think I can move another human being 2 feet to pick up a first down.
You know, definitely the QB sneak is definitely a weapon that we feel like we can use. But, I mean, you don't want to get into the world where you're using the QB sneak every short yardage situation, every time. Because, I mean, obviously – guys get free shots on me, and I mean, who knows what's going to happen when that happens. But no, I mean, the quarterback thinks, I mean, I think we're 100%. I think I'm 5 of 5 as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer on QB sneaks.
That would be Chris's point.
Yeah. Yeah.
5 of 5 is pretty
it's,
good percentage.
But really, this season, we haven't been in I don't think that many third and 2 foot to 3 feet distances. And I mean, when we have, I can't think of a situation where we didn't convert by handing the ball off to Ernest or a little flip play to Cadillac. You know, I mean, we found ways to pick up the first down. I mean, obviously, I could definitely see us QB sneaking. We have it in our offense, and we feel like Davin Joseph. I mean, who do you have better than Davin Joseph? I mean, Jeremy Zuda and Kedrick Vincent. I mean, all those guys are more than capable. Trust me, those are some very talented guys who we have a lot of confidence in. But I definitely feel like you can look forward to seeing quite a bit more of me on third or fourth and short.
Well, we have, and you know what? I don't want the callers, guys, stand by. We're coming right to you. But you know, I've seen you in the shotgun on third and one. And, you know, I think some people would say, you know, unless you're going to hand the ball to the running back, but now you're already 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage in a shotgun. Is that something we're going to see more and more of? Is that teams on third and second and third and three have a tendency to pass the ball a bit more in the NFL lately? It seems like a trend we're starting to see.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's actually very high percentage.
That was
you know?
Just that, percentages,
The percentages are really high, you know. Basically, if a team wants to vacate the box and leave only two linebackers in there, go out and put a guy over Sammy Strutter, they're going to vacate the box, and you'll check to a run play, maybe a trap or a power play, and pick it up easily like that. Or if they want to keep guys in the box and you throw a quick slant, a quick out, or a hitch, really anything to pick up that easy yard or two, you know.
And you're talking percentages near 70%? You're talking, you know,
I would say third and one around the league, it's very favorable for the offense. Mm-hmm. The offense wins those, I'd say, 75 to 80% of the time.
All right. Kenny, stand by. Mark, stand by. RJ, you're up on the Josh Freeman Show. Welcome, RJ.
Hey, guys. Josh, just want to say it's a pleasure to speak to you, man. I'm all the way from New York, in town for the game this Sunday, and just want to say I'm so happy to see you guys playing well and based on last year, and just love seeing you guys prove the critics wrong, man, especially coming from a big town in New York and everything with a lot of media hype and stuff like that, and just wanted to see what you thought about, you know, with all the people proving, I guess, with you guys proving the media wrong, and some people say, like, Peter King, the two wins, and does that provide, like, extra motivation for you, like, every Sunday to just to bounce back, even though all the Buck fans think you guys can do it, just to prove the media wrong every Sunday?
Well, yeah, I think that was a lot of the motivation this offseason, you know, when we're out there in the summer heat during training camp, and, I mean, you're not really hearing anything positive from the national media or even the local media about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and what we're able to do, you know. I mean, you look at the preseason predictions, and a lot of people predicted us maybe two games, three games at most, you know. And it's, I mean, it you can look at it, and, I mean, a lot of guys, I'm sure, take that and turn it into motivation. And, I mean, I think that's awesome. But, you know, I look at it from the standpoint of I don't feel like we are a 2-3 win team, you know. And I don't really need anybody else telling me what kind of team that we are or that we can be. From a media standpoint, you know, it's all about the guys in our locker room, whether it's guys on offense, guys on defense, guys that play on special teams. You know, we're 63 men strong, and it's a deal where we feel like we can go out, prepare well every week, and we have an opportunity to play with any team in this league on Sundays. And I think when you have that mentality and you have that confidence, it doesn't really matter what anybody in the outside world's saying. It's all about going out and making what you want to be. So,
3 times in the last 7 years, the team that finished last in the NFC South turned it around and went from worst to first. Some of that is because you can reload at drafts. Some of that is because you're only a piece or two away from doing that. But, you know, it's almost nicer to be under the radar, though, sometimes, too. You know, and just like you said, you don't play your games for the media. And, you know, I asked you about the Saints game, and I think we talked about it a whopping 3 minutes, and you already turned your focus to the Rams, and that's really how it is in the NFL, isn't it? You just got to keep moving forward with your concentration on everything.
Yeah. I mean, in college, I mean, it's you see a lot of teams. I mean, they'll lose a tough game, and then the next week they'll come back and lose to an inferior team. But in the NFL, I mean, everybody is a good team, and everybody's capable of beating anybody. You know, you hear the phrase "any given Sunday," mm-hmm. and that's really how it is. I mean, you have to be on your game, you have to be prepared, and you have to be ready to go out and execute every week if you want even a chance to win the game.
That's Josh Freeman. It's the Josh Freeman Show. Jump on. We got open line in Hillsboro that just opened up, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Kenny in Brooksville, you're on deck. We're going to Mark next. Mark, welcome to the program.
Oh, how you doing, guys? I just appreciate you guys taking my phone call. And the question I have for you, Josh, is one of the first possessions we had versus the Saints, I think after we had our first down, you went to Mike Williams like three times in a row. And I was wondering if that's the guy you're looking for first, as soon as you come out of you get the ball out of the shotgun or underneath the center, and is Aurelius Ben going to be one of those guys that you're looking for soon? Is he coming along to be that player like Mike has grown to be in the first couple games?
Yeah. Well, I definitely. I guess we got that first down, and I went to Mike because I mean I felt like we had a good matchup. And, you know, I feel like going to him that many times, you're at least going to hit on one of them, and it's going to be a big play.
Sure.
But I guess it just wasn't our day. But, yeah, no, Aurelius Ben, he's doing an awesome job in practice. He's come out and made some plays in the game. And, I mean, day by day, and I can see his confidence growing, I mean, as an individual and also my confidence in him. You know, I feel like Aurelius is going to turn out to be a really big weapon for us sooner than later.
And how far along is Aurelius going to be coming along as far as, you know, fighting for that one or two spot? You know, like, you know, that's why we drafted him. Is he going to come along this year, or is that something that's a work in progress?
You know, I'm not 100% sure how the depth chart's working out. You know, I know that he's been getting a lot of playing time. I mean, him and Michael Spurlock and Sammy are kind of the three-headed rotation when we have two receivers on the field, Jason and Mike. But, yeah, man, I feel like all those guys are capable, you know, but, Aurelius there's going to be a time this year. Like I said, it might be very soon that, I mean, we call on Aurelius to make a step up and make a big play for us. And I mean, he'll be ready to go. So I could definitely see a lot more Aurelius in the mix.
A telling sign is, targeted receivers. I'll go back to last game. You know, obviously Winslow, 10 targets and Mike Williams 9, but then right behind him is Sammy Strader, was targeted 9 times, and then you have Michael Spurlock and Aurelius Ben that 2 or 3 times. Regis was with us last night, and he used the phrase "full speed." Now that I'm starting, it's almost like what Gerald McCoy said. You know, it's time to stop thinking and start playing. You know, you can overthink this game, but where for a wide receiver, he's got to know his coverages. He's got to understand that, oh, my God, if they blitz off this edge, I got to break my route off. There is a mental game that Regis has to get to, and it seems like he is, you know, what are we, 5 games into the season now, plus a full camp. He seems like he's definitely starting to get that confidence.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, some people, I mean, you go through college and you run a certain type of offense, and you know, I think really this offense was called a little different. I think some of the route combinations were a little different. And there's obviously a different learning curve for different players coming in.
That's how it was with Mike, right? Because what Mike did at Syracuse was much more of a pro-style set.
Yeah.
And then at Illinois, Regis wasn't doing that, right?
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, Regis is doing a great job. You know, he's picked up on it quick, and he's done a tremendous job getting in the mix.
All right, we're going to go to Brooksville. Kenny, you're up next. By the way, open line right behind Kenny. You can jump on Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Welcome to the program, Kenny. How you doing, bro?
Pretty good. How you guys doing tonight?
Appreciate the call. What's up?
I had a couple questions about the miscommunications last week. I was at the game, and it seemed like there was probably 3 or 4 passes. I know one to Winslow that was, I think he broke out to the sideline, and Josh threw it more inside. And or vice versa, something like that. And also, I was wondering, you know, Raheem said that in short yards we would be given trying that LeGarrette Blount a little bit more, and we didn't see him at all that game.
Yeah, he didn't dress.
Yeah, he didn't dress.
How's he doing with the blitz pickup? That's really what we're talking about here. Is we're talking about his assignments when he's not running the ball, right?
Yeah, he's definitely improving. I mean, that's another situation where. I mean, in college, I don't think he was asked to do as much as he's being asked to do here. You know, in the NFL, the blitz schemes are that much more complicated, and the protection schemes are equally as complicated. So, I mean, he didn't have the luxury of being with us throughout training camp, so he really, I guess, didn't get that fundamental training, that, I guess, hardwiring during training camp. But, I mean, I could see him in there extra hours working with our running backs coach, Coach Logan. And, I mean, he's figuring it out, and it's good to see. About the miscommunications, you know, there were a couple times where my read and maybe Kellen's read wasn't the same. You know, there was one time down the middle where I felt like he could beat Vilma over the top, so I let the ball go, and he swam underneath him, which, I mean, that's going to happen every now and then. And then there was an instance where I signaled out to Mike Williams, just real subtle, so the defensive back wouldn't see it for go route. And I thought I saw Mike make eye contact, but, I mean, obviously he's looking at my eyes and not my hands, so mm-hmm. He kept on his post and laid up a fade ball, and it just a little off. But, I mean, it's something that hasn't really happened in practice, and it happened in one game, but I wouldn't anticipate it happening anymore.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Pinellas, we got an open line, 727-461-4620. Toll-free at 1-800-596-BUCKS. Got an open line there, too. All the way back out to the left coast of America in San Diego, we got two solid Buck fans out there. They check in almost weekly. Phil, how you doing, bro?
What's up, Ledge? How you doing?
Doing great. Appreciate the phone call. What's up?
Anytime, man. Mr. Josh Freeman, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great, Phil.
I got a couple of comments for you and a question. I was looking back at the Oklahoma State-Kansas State game you had in the fourth quarter where you kind of threw that same Spurlock throw to Figures, if you could recall that, back in 2006, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool that you've done those plays before. So I'm just drawing a bigger offensive fan on the Buck side of the ball because I'm really a defensive guy. But I just want to say kudos to you on that. And you did make a touchdown run and win that game. So I'm looking for that touchdown run for you in the first NFL season for you. Maybe do a Michael Jackson move when you get an end zone.
Everybody's yeah. Choreographed.
I know,
choreographing,
man.
Choreographing celebrations
we've
here.
We've been actually, my dance moves, man, I'd call them subpar at best. But I've definitely been working with some of the wide receivers and when I get in the end zone, man, it's going to be memorable.
I was going to say, Dancing with the Stars is not in your future? Or
hey,
is it going to be in your future?
I'm not saying that, but
yeah.
I mean, sometimes when I get to the end zone, I'm just so jacked up about scoring that it's the touchdown dance kind of gets put on the afterburners.
Big time geeked up, yeah. We saw that during the Cincinnati comeback, too, is, pacing the sideline, and your eyes were big and wide, and you were just – I was like, man, this guy's definitely soaking this in. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620. As we get ready to look at the Rams, the offense is, I guess you could say – churning along. I think we're averaging a little over 300 yards a game, right around that. And, as far as running the ball consistently, that seems to be the Achilles heel right now. We've heard in the media they talk about the offensive line underachieving, and then everybody's ready to put Cadillac out to pasture. And it almost seems when you watch teams that run the ball effectively, it's almost like the success generates more success, And it's almost like, you always hear him say, running the ball is an attitude in the NFL. You know, it's about attitude. Or it's just about execution and attitude. Or is it just about execution?
You know,
when you're looking at you guys on film, what do you guys want to do better running the ball?
I would say pick up yards, you know.
I give it a 90-second question, 2-second answer.
No, right. Yeah, I mean, sure. I think it's partially about attitude and about scheme. I mean, there's a lot of it is scheme. You know, it's got to be, coordinated. You got to get hats on hats, and you got to hit the hole. And, really, it's just a lot of guys have been making plays on defense. And it's one of those things where you talk about people wanting to give up on the run game, wanting to put Cadillac out to pasture. I mean, that's crazy, man. Cadillac is still in peak condition. He has the ability to still be a premier back in this league, and we have a lot of confidence in the guy, a lot of confidence in Cadillac, not to mention the things he does in the pass game. And I think he had 70 yards receiving last game. I mean, Cadillac does so much for us in pass protection and receiving. I mean, he's invaluable. That's a good word. But yeah, no, you couldn't lose a guy like Cadillac, or I mean, it'd be a very big loss for us. But no, I mean, back to the running game. I mean, some weeks you play teams that have answers. You know, I mean, you look at Maurice Jones-Drew. What was he, 17 carries for 55 yards?
Mm-hmm.
But
and he's a premier back in this league.
Yeah, and a lot of people expected him to break for a lot. I mean, you also have guys like Chris Johnson who, I mean, if they get a crease, they run like a 4.43, and they're going to hit it, and nobody's going to catch them. But I feel like definitely our running game is going to improve, you know, no doubt about it in my mind. I feel like we have a very good O-line. I feel like we have very good backs. And, yeah, it's just a matter of time before we have that big game that, I guess, quiets all the critics.
Well, D coordinators are going to look at you, and, you know, this is going to come to you, too. You're a young quarterback in this league, and they'll say, we're going to put 8-9 guys in that box, and we're going to make Josh Freeman beat us. And that's got to be a personal challenge to you.
Yeah.
Because the quickest way to open up a running game is to start throwing the ball, you know, 15, 20 yards down the field, and then you have linebackers backing up rather than running towards the line of scrimmage. So do you feel any added pressure on you if the running game's not kicking?
No. I mean, no. I mean, that's what excites me about playing football. You know, I like the challenge. I like the opportunity to go out, play against a good defense who says that you can't do it, and then go out and do it and watch them walk off the field with an L hanging over their heads.
I like that. Good answer. Good answer. Jeff and St. Pete, you're on deck. We're coming to you next. Hang on, Jeff. Gary in Clearwater, you're up with Josh Freeman.
Yeah, Josh, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Good. Josh, it's a real pleasure. I tell you, you're bringing a lot of excitement to Tampa Bay, man. I'm really glad that it's working out for you and you're doing so well. I've been a season ticket holder for the Bucks for a few years, Josh, and I can't tell you how exciting it is to have somebody back in the pocket. It hasn't been something that we've had for some time. I think Brad Johnson was probably the last good, strong quarterback that we've had for some time. I've got two questions for you, Josh, and then I'm just going to sit back and listen. I say this, you know, I was sitting at the game last week, and it seems like we'd start to get into a roll. We'd start getting into the sink when you're throwing the ball. And I think we've got the receivers now. I really do. Mike Williams, man, he's fantastic. Arturius, man, I can't say his name.
Just call him Regis.
Yeah, just call him Regis.
Yeah, he likes
there
the name Regis.
Regis is, man, I'm telling you, he's going to be a star in this league. I really see this. We've got Strader. I love to watch Cadillac come out of the backfield and catch the ball. And I'm going to tell you somebody that I feel is a missing piece, and it's one of my questions. What about Ernest Graham? I just feel that, you know, he carried this team when Cadillac went down the first time, and I really thought we were going to see more of him, and we're really not. And my first question is, can't we carve out a little better spot for Ernest Graham? And then the other thing is I wonder if we've got the game plan for us to come out and be that aggressive passing team, because I think that's where we are. I think we need to pass to set up the run rather than run to set up the pass. And I think we've got the tools. You're a big, strong quarterback, and you have the capability of getting away from the defensive rush, and I really think that would help us. I'm going to sit back and listen, Josh.
All right, so Gary, you wanted to know a little bit about how you think we can get EG back into the game. Let's go with that one first, Ernest, who's nursing a sore hammy, by the way, but he was practicing today, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, Ernest, much like Cadillac, is a huge part of our offense, and a lot of the things that I mean, we rely on or ask Ernest to do is it. I mean, it's, I guess, not that. How can I put this? You know, he does a lot of the dirty work. You know, I mean, he's stepped up and been playing fullback for us. Has been doing a tremendous job.
Ernest has done everything any coach has ever asked him to
everything,
do.
Everything.
Anything.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, he's gotten a few carries. I mean, obviously you see a guy like Ernest, and we have a lot of confidence in Ernest running the ball. I mean, we've hit Ernest on some screen balls. He's made a lot of plays for us, you know, but, I mean, it's at the fullback position, I can't really think of any offense in the league who schemes their running game.
Yeah, for
around
10 or 15 touches for a fullback, you just don't see that.
I mean, he gets some catches in the pass game, you know, on checkdowns, on flat routes, things like that. But, you know, Ernest, I think he's had a very productive season. You know, he broke that big screen play. I don't know if it was versus Pittsburgh. He broke that big big run versus Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
He's done quite a bit for us, you know, and I'm looking forward to seeing Ernest. Keep being earnest, you know, and keep being that solid constant for us in our backfield.
A lot of times, and we'll hit a break, Jeff and St. Pete, hang on, but a lot of times, you know, the unsung hero is the guy picking up that that late blitzer at the end. You know, the ball's halfway down the field, the receivers made a catch, and it was Ernest Graham who got his face mask in a linebacker's grill and kept you standing upright. And it's because the camera has a tendency to follow the football around, and sometimes you don't see those things. And, you know, that's the unselfish behavior. You want your kid to have a hero on this team, no better than Ernest Graham. This is a guy who, you know, comes in, though he did play for the University of Florida, he, you know, essentially earned everything he's gotten on this team, practice squad, moving on up through the food chain, if you will, and we love EG, man. We want to see him touch the football because he does make good things happen. We got to hit a break. Got open line in Hillsborough at 813-990-4620. Pinellas, we got an open line there, too. Jump on it, 727-461-4620. Also, 1-800-596-BUCKS. Jeff is up first when we come back. We got room right behind him for you. Why don't you jump on and talk to number 5? This is the Josh Freeman Show. We're coming back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE at US 1035.
All right, guys, we hit our halftime. We're back. Second half of the Josh Freeman Show. Jeff and Ashton, hang on. I want to ask you about Craig Lumpkin because we've been talking about LeGarrette Blount a lot, but Craig's another guy that Mark Dominic found on the Packers practice squad, and the terminology, I guess, from what I understood, was a little bit more similar for him. So we haven't seen much or heard too much about him. So tell the fans what we can expect from Lumpkin too.
You know, yeah, Craig Lumpkin is another one of those all around guys. But I mean, he's a lot like LeGarrette Blount. He's new to our system.
Sure,
just now stepping in, but I mean, he's learning a lot, and I could see definitely in the absence of Kareem Huggins. I mean, him stepping up and playing a big part for us. But, I mean, he's a lot like Ernest Graham from the standpoint of, I mean, he can play fullback, he can play tailback. He's the guy that's going to stick his face in the fan and maybe do the dirty work to get the job done. And, I'm really excited about Craig. I mean, I want to see him in a game-like situation or in a game and see him perform because I know he'll do great.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Ashton, stand by, brother. You're on deck. We're going to Jeff in St. Pete. You're up with Josh Freeman, Jeff.
Yeah, hey, just wanted to touch base and let you guys know. I mean, Josh, I've been a Bucs fan, I mean, since, gosh, the 70s. And we've had so many, you know, young quarterbacks come and go out of our team, and you are probably the best and the best, newest blood that we have ever had on this team. And the agility that you got is just phenomenal. One of my big questions is, I mean, we started out the season, you know, with the 3-1 aspect, and you guys did great. And, you know, you're coming in, we had that bye week. Would you rather have that bye week in that beginning of the season, or does it help out, you know, coming towards the end when you guys need a little bit of a break? And you guys are going to take the Rams this week, and I'm sure you're going to pound the heck out of them, but, you know, you know, we're actually going to be very up on top. We're going to end up being 4-2, and hopefully, what's your opinion about having a nice winning season is really going to be your first big season as an NFL player?
I like the way he thinks.
Yeah, man, I like your train of thought as well.
Yeah.
That's very wise, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the guy who can see, you know, that, you know, you're going to have it once in a while, you stub your foot and You can't go backwards in time and worry about the New Orleans game. You'll get them in New Orleans, much like you did last year, as a matter of fact. Remember, they came in our crib and kind of smacked us around, and we went there and beat them in overtime. So we'll worry about the Saints a little farther down the road. But, you know, he asked you about the bye week, which did come early for you guys. It was good for your thumb, I know that. But overall, I'm sure maybe a little later on would have been nicer.
Yeah, for the thumb, I mean, it came for a good time, but I mean, at the same time, I played three games with the thumb. So, but you know, the bye week, you prefer to be, I mean, week 8, week 9, week
perfect,
10,
yeah, right in the middle,
week 11, somewhere, yeah, middle to late middle, I'd say would be ideal, because you look at our schedule, and although we're a young team, and you think about young teams getting in a rhythm and being able to keep that going.
Sure.
You know, we played three games and, 13 straight weeks of intense football action. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I'm really, really excited for it. But, I mean, when you start getting later in the year, the wear and tear on different guys' bodies is a little more severe. I mean, your body's been getting beat up for weeks and weeks and weeks, and now maybe feel it a little more after the games. So having the bye week later in the year, I mean, affords some of the guys, I mean, the luxury of having an entire week to kind of get all your bruises out. Anything that you got going on wrong with your body, you have an off weekend, an entire week off to really just, I mean, get back right, get back healthy, revitalize your mind and get back focused for whatever is remaining in your season.
Most guys feel it in their legs, you would say. Yeah. I mean, you got the dinged up, you know, like you sprains and that kind bruises of stuff, but mostly it's like to rejuvenate your legs.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely, because some of these guys are running a tremendous amount, I mean, every Sunday and also throughout the week in practice. But, yeah, who knows, you know, who knows which is better, the early or the late, but, you know, we're going to –
Well, next year they have an 18-game schedule, so just think of that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but no. I don't even want to talk about
that. Yeah, let's not even worry about that. We're going back to the phones. By the way, open line in Hillsborough at 813-990-4620, Pinellas 727-461-4620, and we got one open line at 1-800-596-BUCKS. It's Ashton. Ashton, welcome to the program, brother.
Hello, Josh.
Hey, what's up, Ashton?
Hey, I just kind of have a comment, man. I love the way you play the game. You show a lot of respect, and I can really appreciate that, and a lot more people than you realize actually appreciate that. And as far as the comment earlier about Michael Jackson, when you score a touchdown doing his little dance, I said do a Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders style?
Yeah. That guy showed more respect for the game.
Yeah, man. Yep. And hand the ball to the referee. Need. No showboating.
Act like you've been there before.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean,
I want to see. And that's all. I just want to make a comment, throw that out there, and good luck to you. Go Bucks.
Hey, thanks a lot.
It's an interesting topic, though, it is, because the NFL is about entertainment, and people do get into end zone celebrations. They have every right, especially in a home game, to get that crowd even more pumped up. But I guess maybe there's a time to run back and there's a time to to celebrate. You think you see yourself doing both of those things in your career from time to time, depending on the mood?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, usually, like I said, I'm usually so overwhelmed with, I guess, passion, enthusiasm, whatever you want to call it, that I mean, not a whole lot, I guess, productive in the ways of, a well-thought-out celebration ever comes to pass. But, I usually just, I tried the Spike Jacksonville game, ended up falling over preseason my rookie year. And, since then, I haven't been in the end zone. But usually when I score a touchdown, I flip the ball to the ref and go jump on my nearest teammate. That's about the extent of my touchdown celebration. You know, I think it's about the whole offense. I mean, had to work for that drive. Had to work to get the touchdown. I think everybody deserves a part in the celebration.
A lot of times you'll see different quarterbacks. Well, you know, the spontaneous stuff is, let's say you throw a 40-yarder. You see a lot of you guys will jump into the arms of your offensive lineman. So you're probably a little too big to do that. Have you ever jumped up in Donald Penn's arms? What would happen there?
Yeah, man. Trying to think. I've jumped on Donald. I mean, Donald's a big guy, too. I mean,
what's said? Because sometimes in that second, you know, is it just, hey, man, great throw? You know, I mean, there's like, always an exchange.
Yeah, like.
What kind of stuff is said there?
Like, hey, good job, great
stuff
throw.
Stuff you can say on the radio, of course.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah, touchdown, jump up in the air. But yeah, I don't know. You look at a guy like Jeremy Zuta or a guy like Fain. I mean, I might jump on them and knock them over. But I mean, they're both very strong guys. So
they better be.
But yeah, you know, it's all about having fun. It's all about the passion for the game, passion for your teammates, the camaraderie, and winning football games and doing it together.
That is what it's about for sure. We're going to Joe. Joe, you're up on the Josh Freeman Show. Appreciate the call.
Hi, Josh. I wanted to talk to you about, I mean, we have a lot of young, talented players, and I've been following your career. For the Bucs, I mean, to open up, I mean, as a pocket passer, is that primarily what you think we need to keep at, or is the gunslinging type style, would that kind of open up the offense, I guess?
What was the second style?
I think he said gunslinging. Joe, do you just mean the guy who's, like, running out of the pocket? What do you mean by
gunslinging?
Yeah,
running out of the pocket, buying some time. You know, like, you know, Josh, you remind me of a young Doug Williams, and Doug was always able to keep the play extended until he found someone.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely see that as part of my game. But, I mean, at the same time, I'd rather sit in the pocket in rhythm and throw it down the field, I guess, the way the play is originally designed. But, yeah, if I get flush out of the pocket, my eyes are always downfield trying to make a play. But
some of your bigger plays this year have been from outside the pocket. Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really either way. I think every quarterback, when they drop back, I mean, they're dropping back to hit their fifth step and throw the post down the middle of the field on time. But, I mean, sometimes there's a little penetration by the defense, and you don't always get the opportunity to get a clear look downfield before you got to scramble and obviously, like you said, extend the play.
You guys have decided to practice at Raymond James Stadium, and you know, the coach kind of talked about this a little, but I want you to kind of repeat what he said is, you know, you've only punched it in three times and here at home, and you guys are going to go there tomorrow and practice. What's the mindset to go there tomorrow and practice?
You know, the mindset really, I mean, that's where we're going to do it on Sunday. So tomorrow's a red zone practice, so why not do it on Friday? So we're going to go out there and get some good work in Ray J. And, you know, they always, I mean, we'll pump up the crowd noise and make it really seem like a game atmosphere.
Sure.
And, yeah, I guess try to simulate that as much as possible and go out and make us execute with maybe a little added pressure.
Give us an idea of the red zone drill. Give me an idea of, you know, like 5-10 minutes worth of a red zone drill. What are you guys working on when you run those drills?
We have different plays scripted, you know, whether it's a running play, a passing play. And, I mean, a lot of it's just the basic procedure of the play. You know, getting up there, identifying the defensive front, making the proper points and running the play and making sure we got a hat on a hat. You know, it's crucial in the red zone. And I mean, obviously it's not live because we're saving that for the game. But I mean, there's I guess quite a bit of thudding going on in the pile, a lot of movement going on, and then yeah, it's just going down. A lot of those plays as a quarterback are wordy plays. So I mean, going out, spitting those out, understanding the concept, understanding where the points are and where you're trying to go with the ball.
It's almost visualizing. You know, no better way to visualize scoring in the stadium than actually be in the stadium. So it's kind of a sports psychology thing that they're doing tomorrow. As the Bucs will practice at Raymond James Stadium tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Hillsborough 813-990-4620. Open line there. Got one in Pinellas for you, 727-461-4620. Actually, two open lines there. And 1-800-596-BUCS. You guys, let me see, you got the Rams, but then you got two on the road. You come back for Carolina, and then you've got two more on the road. This is going to be a big stretch, the real meat of your season, or right in the middle of your season. I don't want to talk about each game individually, but I am kind of looking at it as, you know, four road games in essentially a five-week stretch. That means this game, this home game, and you're only 1-2 at home, and you want to improve on that record. This is a big one, isn't it? This is a big one.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, I mean, every game is a big one, you know, but – I mean, we feel like this is a great opportunity. St. Louis is a young team as well. They have a good defense.
Yeah, their pass rush has been stepping up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jake Long's been doing a great job. I mean, Laurinaitis in the middle is doing a good job. And you look at their offense, another young offense. And, I mean, they've been making plays as well, finding ways to get wins. They're 3-3. I mean, they're also exceeding expectations for what a lot of people put on them. But you know, Sunday is going to be all about us, all about, I mean, us going out there trusting our training and executing and ultimately finding a way to make the plays to beat the St. Louis Rams.
Someone wanted to talk about Greg Olsen earlier, and they kind of dropped off. I wanted to ask you about your relationship with Ole right now. And when you guys are studying film on Mondays, are there any heated debates? Are there any arguments over, not necessarily looking back over your shoulder on a play call, but a combination of what if we had decided to do this, or he's looking at you going, you know, you missed something here or you missed something there. So how's your relationship with Greg Olsen right now?
I have a great relationship with Greg Olsen, also with Alex Van Pelt. I mean, those guys.
Who's your quarterback's coach?
Yeah, quarterback's coach. So you look at the offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach. I mean, those are the two coaches that, I mean, really I get all my information from, bounce all my thoughts and questions off of. And
does he ask you a question, a lot of questions? Or is it more of a teacher-student?
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, a little bit of both. I mean, it's more kind of we'll run plays and get on the sideline, like, what were you looking at? I was looking at this. We kind of, I mean, it's really all about working together, you know. And, I mean, he does a great job of calling plays. And throughout the week, those guys do an awesome job of preparing us and the quarterback room to go out and play on Sundays. And, yeah, man, I mean, it's a great relationship to have because, I mean, I feel like our relationship's, I mean, open enough that, if I have a problem, I can come to him and ask him about anything. And, I mean, he'll shoot me straight. And I know if he has an issue with the way I'm doing something, I mean, he'll tell me how he feels and tells me how it needs to be. And, I mean, I'll respond to that. So, I mean, it's I feel like we have a very good working relationship.
Not everybody wants to see their quarterback running. You know, unless they learn to slide, and even then, it's kind of like when we open the show and we kind of talk about you got to be weary of cheap hits and elbows and spearing and everything else. But do you ever get to the point in a game where you have just decided that, you know, because I've seen you run more often in games. I don't think I saw you maybe run what, once last week. I'm trying to remember. Twice, tops.
Yeah, I ran obviously the design run.
Yes, yeah, and that's then, the point. That's the point I'm getting to. Yeah. So, you know, you've got your bootlegs and you've got your designed runs, but do you get to the point in the game sometimes where you know, and it's 3rd and 6 and 3rd and 7 and those type of because you've converted a lot with your legs, where you just the moment something breaks down and you're not seeing what you want to see and your back pedal, you just decide I'm going to run on this.
Not usually, you know. Usually you get to the top of your drop and you start going through your progression and then you'll see a running lane open up and then and you'll take off in that manner. It's never really, I mean, you decide to run because it's...
Are they spying you? Have you noticed linebackers spying you or a defense is spying you running at all or
no? You know, not really.
No.
You know, I really wouldn't consider my athleticism that big of a threat. You know, I'm not quite Michael Vick or Vince Young, but, I mean, when I have a crease, you know, I'm going to hit it and... I've considered myself enough of an athlete that I can make plays with my feet in this league. But a lot of the quarterback running game, you know, stepping up the pocket and taking off, I mean, it's usually late developing. You know, you drop back and maybe –
you've gone through your reads twice at that point.
Oh, yeah, you're going through your reads and you're not quite seeing anything and you're stepping back and then all of a sudden a D-lineman falls out of the way and you kind of see it in your peripheral vision and you scan, look, make sure it's good, and then you just take off. It all happens in a matter of a second or so, but that's usually when you run up the middle how it comes to be. But then there are the other ones where you get flushed out of the pocket and you break contain, and those are, I'd say, a little more common in my game. But but it's opportunity. It really is. You know, you can't really go into it saying, "Yo, I'm gonna run the ball in this play."
Because
if you do that, then you're not gonna be looking downfield, and you might miss a great opportunity to hit a big play.
That's Josh Freeman. We're almost done with the show. We'll hit a break and come back. Thank our wonderful sponsors, and we'll talk a little bit about those Rams when we come back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
For the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE at US 1035.
All right, it's our 60-second drill. You got the Rams coming into Raymond James Stadium. Talk about what your team's hoping to do and the message to the fans.
You know, as a team, I mean, we focus this week, and it's really all about us. You know, coming off a tough loss from the Rams, one of the points of emphasis was, I mean, I guess bonding as a team, you know, coming together as a team and finding a way come back and respond. You know, it's not always about how you perform, which all in all it is, but ultimately, I mean, how you respond, how you can come back from those big losses. And I mean, as a team, I feel like everybody's drawn together as a group and really so far put together a great week of practice. And if we can continue this to the game, I mean, I've got no doubt that we'll be able to go out and have a favorable result. But, you know, come out and check it out, man. It's going to be a fun one on Sunday when the Rams come to town.
You got it, guys. We're out of time. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. All right, here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Josh Freeman Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.